I want to bring a lesson that's about the power of God, and I'm going to talk about a specific way that God is powerful, but I want to start with our scripture reading that was just read. Brother Gary read from the New American Standard. The New King James Version says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I can't imagine God taking dirt or dust and shaping a man out of that dust and then breathing into him and him becoming a living soul. I say, I can't see that I can conjure it up in my head, but that's incredible. That is the power of God. And so what I want to do for just a couple of minutes here is just give you some facts about your body. When God made man from the dust and then breathed into us and we became a living soul, there are 11 main systems within the human body that keep the body functioning. If I were to do a lesson on each or a Wednesday night invitation, it is incredible. Each of these various systems that we have that all function together within is incredible. But that's the power of God. It is a testament to the power of God. For example, part of your digestive system is your saliva glands. And of course, I've talked about the time mine plugged and how important they were and how important I remember them being. But it is my understanding that your saliva glands produce 1 liter every day. But in your saliva glands are enzymes that begin immediately to break down the food. So your teeth is, you know, chewing it up smaller, but your saliva has the chemicals in it that starts to break that food down. First part there of your digestive system. There are 78 organs in the human body. And I don't need anybody to shout out an answer, but do you know what the largest organ is? Out of the 78, it's your skin. That's correct. It is your skin. The most complex organ is the human brain. I've talked about the skin before, and I've talked about the brain, the most complex of your organs, and yet it's made up of 80% of water. That just blows my mind. And yet God would say in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." So this mass in your body that's made up of 80% of water, God says, come and reason. And that's how we reason, is with what God has created and placed within the skull of our body, something that is incredible enough to be able to reason, to be able to think. It is complex. When we think about brain surgery, we think about the epitome of surgeries, like when Larson Plyler had that tumor removed and how serious that was, and the skill that would be needed to not touch parts of the brain that would affect other parts of the body and its function because it controls so many things. The body has 640 muscles. It takes 200 muscles to take one step. 200 muscles to take one step. That explains why it's getting harder for me to move. After I've worked, you ought to see me. I get up and I have to kind of do the old Tim Conway shuffle until they finally start lubing up, if you would. Probably not drinking enough water. 640 muscles, 200 to take one step. 206 bones in the adult body. And yet a baby has about 100 more, about 306 or so. And that is because over time as the baby grows, the child grows, bones fuse together. Incredible. That's probably a study within itself to think about the complexity of this. I remember as a child, as most of you probably do, your parent coming in and rubbing your legs because those legs are just killing you as you're growing. And they're sitting there rubbing them because they're just hurting. And I think that's that we call them growing pains. There are 33 bones in the ankle. I think Renee knows this. 26 joints. The complexity of the ankle or the knee. And this is what God breathed into as He fashioned it out of dust. The power of God. Here's just some interesting facts. Probably most of you know, your ears and your nose don't stop growing. For those of us who had a rather large nose to begin with, I've got one of the smaller crimp noses, but it is a feature that the crimps are known for. You'll see it in my aunts and uncles that have passed and their children, and some of us have it more than others. My brother, he was Eagle Beak. When we were growing up in Indiana, I was Eagle Beak Jr. The nose keeps growing. It's amazing. I don't see that, but I'll take them for their word. Most of you have probably heard it takes 17 muscles to smile and 43 to frown. That's amazing. And every day, your body replaces around 33 billion cells. And if you've ever heard Brother Buddy Payne talk about one cell and DNA and the complexity and the design of one cell, your body is making 330 billion cells a day. That is 3.8 million every second. And man comes along and says, that just happened. I don't believe it. That's a lie. King David wrote, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." And the Lord formed man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of light and life, and man became a living being. That is incredible. The power of God to take dust from the ground, make a man in all of his complexities. Power that God has. To breathe into the nostrils of man and for him to come to life and become a living being or a living soul. That is amazing. And so, because God has that kind of power, is it any wonder that when we turn to the Scriptures, we see that God has power over sickness? Power over sickness. And that's what I want to kind of talk about. I specifically want to look at the blind man in John chapter 9 in just a moment. But let's begin in John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. Because as we looked at it this morning, we want to begin here again this afternoon. Because the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's look at that again, the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And so the Word, which is Jesus, verse 14, who becomes flesh and dwells among us, was there at creation in the beginning and was a part of all that as creator. And so really what I want you to be thinking as we kind of look at some of these, this story is, if God has the power to create man from dust, how does He then not have power over disease and sickness? Of course He does. And so there are countless examples in the Scriptures where that is true. And we're going to look at one in particular here in just a moment. So verse 3 tells us, all things were made through the Word, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And so all the amazing things that I like to talk about, I like to bring Wednesday night invitations, and I like to talk about, like we did, these interesting facts about animals, about the human body. We looked at, it leaves no doubt that God has power over the human body. And because He has power over the human body, He has power over sickness. And so before we take a closer look at the blind man of John 9, I do want us to look at Isaiah chapter 38. So we're going back to the days of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was a good king, not a perfect king, but he was a good king. And so chapter 38 starts out this way. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Now, what I want to just point out in looking at this is to say this. I don't know when God steps in and answers prayer. We've talked about prayer. What I want us to think about is he certainly has the power to do so. But I don't know when he steps in. But God definitely has power over sickness. And we see that in this example. And since God created us from dust, it makes sense that he knows exactly every bit of every part of how everything operates and can, in his own way, guide, lead, fix, however he wants to do that. But I also know that Brother A.W. Dykus, number 9 in our songbook, where he wrote, "God holds the germ within his hand, though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand." And so there are things that God certainly allows, and there are diseases that have had no cure and continue to have no cure. And that is because man is it's appointed unto man once to die. And so we are going to die. We don't know when that will be. So I've talked recently about being ready for that day and how important it is to be ready for that day. But God certainly has the power. And we pray fervently sometimes for those who are sick. And yet they pass away. And sometimes that shakes our faith to the very core and we wonder why. But we need to understand that God has told us that we will pass. He has not promised that he will add another 15 years. But God certainly has the power to answer those prayers and to do exactly that. We know that we do not live forever. Is it appointed unto man once to die? Well, I want to look now, having said that, I want to look at the blind man of John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by in verse 1, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Just like in the book of Acts, details matter. And so we're told that he is blind from birth, meaning he's never seen. And I don't know what that's like. I can't imagine how difficult that is. I can't imagine how frustrating that is. But he's never seen. And Jesus, as he passed by, he sees him. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, that's one of the things that I'm not going to really talk about, but if you're born blind, you're not born blind because of sin. You sinned, and you're not born blind because your parents sinned. I don't know how God determines these things, but people are born blind. I certainly went to high school with a young man that was blind, and it was my responsibility to help him get from one class to another at times, and we were actually in band together, and so he'd go with me to band. Henrique is a member of the church that is blind, and somehow Henrique can call the Tampa Bay Devil Rays ball games on the radio, and yet he's blind. I've watched him do it. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he can hear that good, but he does. And so blindness happens. And how you deal with that? Jamie Purcell is a young man that maybe you've seen him. He's in a wheelchair because he has cerebral palsy. And yet Jamie, as difficult as that is and as challenging and how discouraged that can be, I've listened to him now give two lessons. I get daily Bible verses that he speaks. And if you know anything about those with cerebral palsy, his speech isn't the greatest, but he's got his computer to where it knows him and communicate. And so he'll speak out the whole verses, and then he'll send those. And so every day I get Bible verses from Jamie Purcell. So again, overcoming these things. So here's a man that is born blind. And his disciples want to know, well, who sinned? And he said, nobody sinned. It's so I can show you the works of God, meaning what he's about to do is going to heal him. He says, I must work the works, verse 4, of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus has power over sickness. That's exactly what you see here. And the reason I started off with Jesus is God is because you would expect nothing else, that the Word is God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he had that kind of power. The Father had given him that, or he had a full measure of the Holy Spirit, but he had the ability to have control over sickness. And so he makes this mud pack, if you would, and he anoints the man's eyes and tells him to go wash. And so here is the Word at creation, and here he is as Jesus, and he is healing the man. I want to put up a definition of a miracle. I heard one not long ago that I need to see where I wrote it down. There was kind of a little bit added to it, but I thought this is really good. I thought this is a good definition for a long time. Brother Mark Roberts wrote, a miracle is an act of God which is physically impossible and religiously significant. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was born blind. Well, who sinned? He said, it's so I can show you the works of God. There's going to be religious significance, and that's what we'll look at right at the end of the lesson. But in Peter's powerful sermon, we'll come back to Acts chapter 2, verse 22, on Pentecost, he says, again, turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and by way of reminder, in that sermon, notice what he says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles. God said, this is my son by the very miracles that he did. And that's what Jesus is saying. The things that I'm doing are testifying of me. In fact, in John chapter 10 and verse 38, he said, if you don't believe me, he said, believe the works that you may believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John chapter 10 and verse 38. So the details are clear. He's blind from birth. Now go back to John chapter 9 and look at verse 20. Because if you know, and we don't have time to read the whole story, but if you know how the story goes, they don't accept it. Those that come and challenge him that don't like the fact that he's been healed. And so they go and say, well, we got to find out if he really was born blind. And so they go to the parents, and the parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Because some said, well, maybe it's somebody that looks like him. And so they go right to the parents and they say, yes, that is my son, that is our son, and he was born blind. So again, there's no doubt that he was blind and now he can see. In verse 20, again, he was born blind. And so the power one has over the human body to right and wrong the human eye is incredible, because we could take the time. In fact, I found I was going to look. I've done this before too, so it's like I also have to say, you know, I've done that. I don't want to keep doing. But the complexity of the eye, and I found a whole paper that someone wrote. I don't know if it was their doctorate, their thesis, or what it was, but it was talking about the complexity of the eye, and I thought, wow, this is going to have some really, really neat things. The power over the human body to right what is wrong. And here's one thing that jumped out to me that I just want to put out there for you to think about. Isn't it kind of fascinating that what did he take and spit into? The ground, the dirt. The very thing that man is made from, and he takes that and he puts it on his eyes and he says, "No, go now, go wash it off." And he comes back and he can see. Don't want to make anything of that, but it's with the thought that I shared about God and the power to do that, of course he can take the dust of the ground and he can use it. And he can use it to cause one to see. And so Jesus has power over sickness. And here are just a few points that I wanted to mention. One of the things is that this has taken place on the Sabbath, is when he is healed. And they don't like that. But one thing that you learn again from a healing by Jesus on the Sabbath is what is, and this is a different story, but what is taught in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28. Mark chapter 2 and verse 28, and that is that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so we also have teaching that says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so, you know, Jesus is Lord. So as creator and having power over sickness and him doing this on the Sabbath day, it should have connected the dots that he, in fact, is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 16, he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And so they're puzzled. Why would he do it on the Sabbath? How can he do this? Some say, well, a sinner can't do these types of things. And so there's always that discussion of the unbeliever. But one thing the lesson teaches us is that he is, in fact, Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 17, there is another point, and that is from the blind man himself. Here, notice what he says. Okay, so you remember how the story goes. He doesn't know who's healed him. And they keep questioning him. Go to his parents, and they say, he's old enough. Go ask him. They come back to him. He says, I've already told you. You know, you're asking me the same questions, we would say. You don't believe me, but look at what's said in verse 17. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And here's what he said. Jesus had said, he's a prophet. He said, he's a prophet. He opened your eyes. He said, he's a prophet. This man knew he was a prophet of God, and not just a prophet, the prophet. The prophet. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, in various ways spoken time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. So you can see how that makes the point about he made the world, he's creator. But God speaks through him. And this is what Stephen was trying to get across to the unbelieving Jews in Acts chapter 7 and in verse 37 in his sermon. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear. Jesus is the prophet. Who is it that healed you? He's a prophet. He's the prophet. And then we know, back in our text in John chapter 9, that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. So think about how this morning we talked about unto us a child is born unto us, a son is given. Now think about the fact that what this teaches in this lesson of healing. Look at verse 35. So they cast him out. In fact, let's read just a little bit here, because this has always blown my mind too. Verse 32, the blind man. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and you're teaching us. And they cast him out. So he's sitting here telling them the truths that nobody's done these kinds of things. And we certainly would connect the dots and say that the person that can do these is from God. And they just dismiss him and say, are you teaching us? How full of pride and arrogant do you have to be to have a man who has been blind telling such plain and simple truths? And so they cast him out. Now verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Now think about how powerful that is. The man had never seen, and now he can see. And Jesus says, you're looking at him. Who is he, Lord? It's he who is, you've seen him. And he's standing here talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So here's a passage where Jesus accepted worship. Because he is, in fact, the Son of God. And Jesus can receive worship as the Son of God. And so Jesus' power over sickness, the healing of the man born blind, proves he is the Son of God. And this man believed that. And Jesus received his worship. And so I'm sure there's many more lessons to be had there. Whoops. But here are just a few the first point that I made. And not the same point that I see at the end there, one of those mistakes on the slide. But there's more lessons, I'm sure. He is Lord of the Sabbath, and that he is the prophet, and he is the Son of God. And these miracles were what attested to the fact that he is, in fact, God. And he is to be worshipped. And he is the one, like we talked about this morning, that has had the government to rest upon his shoulders. Jesus the Christ, the power of God. As I said, it's amazing to think about the power of God creating man. And then when you understand the power there, it's not hard for me to understand how he can do all the things that we read about in the Bible, the miracles, whether it's raising someone from the dead, like we talked about this morning, or it is healing a man who is deaf. And if you've been around anybody that's deaf, it's difficult for them to talk. And if they can, it's usually not good at all. And I worked with a man back in Florida that was a deaf, but there were some that were deaf and mute and could not talk. And so he would loosen their tongue. Because again, if you have the power to create the body itself, you then have the power, of course, over sickness. And so we need to recognize that. I know that God would have us to pray, and we pray for those that are sick, and Dale prayed for Brother Norman and for the doctors, and we certainly want God's blessings in these things because we don't know how he operates. We've talked about his providence, but we certainly can believe that God can do these things if he so chooses. But we should never doubt should he choose not to, because God has also said that there is a day coming that we will die, and if that day doesn't happen, it's going to be because his son has come again, and so we need to be ready for that day. If you're here this afternoon and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we extend an invitation for you to do that. If you are a child of God and something is amiss in your life that needs to be corrected, We also give you an opportunity now to make that known as together we stand and sing.